Hello, everybody. Welcome to the All Hoops Podcast. I'm Stephen Inman, and joining me is my co-host, Chris Brito. With 2019 now upon us, we're going to make our New Year's resolutions to all the teams we discussed today. First off, happy holidays, Chris. How are you?
Hey, buddy. Happy New Year and happy 2019, buddy. We have another great episode today, and I think we're going to talk about a lot of the big things that are going to happen for NBA teams this year, and especially the Knicks, who got some great news this week that Kevin Knox was just named the rookie of the month for the month of December. So, Steve, I think this is a great start to start off the new year. What do you think?
Chris, this is fantastic news. This is the most important development to the Knicks season so far. He averaged 18.3 and 6 rebounds on about 40 to 41% shooting over his last 12 games. Chris, if he can continue to play like this and then take another step forward as the season progresses, he's a legit building block with Kristaps Porzingis going into the next few years.
And like, if you think about the worst case scenario, right? Let's say we don't get a free agent. Say we don't get, Zion, right? And we legit have a player who can score at will. He has to develop a little bit more, right? But I think we definitely have a piece here that will complement our team for seasons to come. And as you said, we'll get KP back. And then once he gets better, you have a legit threat with Kevin Knox and whatever lottery pick we get this in June.
Yeah, Chris, it seemed like early on in the season he was settling for a lot of threes, settling for a lot of jumpers. Now he's attacking the rim. He's doing a lot of different moves, and it's opened up the three-point game for him as well. The whole floor is kind of open for Knox right now, and it's really impressive to see. Obviously, we talked about, I said before, that is the most important development for the Knicks this season. But we mentioned our resolutions, and to me, separately, besides for Knox, the one concern I have about the Knicks going forward is letting this really long losing streak, after it was snapped last night, but 9-30 against the Lakers. Don't let these losses linger into the summer. You don't want it to be, the environment, the chemistry to get worse as the losses continue to build up. You got to remember, this is part of the plan. The idea was to lose 60 games, get a top three pick, and go into the summer with KP, with Knox, with another young rookie, and going in with a lot of cap space. So, Chris, this was the plan, so you can't let these losses linger.
You can't. And I think the good part about this season, and I think for the fans and for the players alike, we all knew what this season was going to be about. This season was going to be about development. And part of that, I think, has gone to Enes Kanter's head. I'm a big fan of his game. I love that he brings heart out every night on the offensive end, but on the defensive end, he really hurts the team. While Friday night he gave the Knicks a nice some defense against JaVale McGee, he for the most part hasn't. And this speaks to what you were saying, right? Like players playing for contract years, he tends to not pass the ball once he's down in the low post. It's all about scoring for him down there. And so there's kind of a battle of philosophies, right? Like he's watching out for his own. Fizdale's watching out for the other players that need the ball. So he, I feel, for the rest of the season has to – I think the Knicks need to find a way to move him. I know his contract isn't – what is it, $18 million or $19
million? About 18.6. I agree they do need to move him, but – you know what? He hasn't been a huge problem yet, and I really don't see a trade market really for him emerging. To me, he's going to be a buyout guy, unfortunately. And
for sure.
And that's something where I'm not really in a rush to pay a productive player to go play somewhere else yet. They're still losing every game, basically. So I'm not really in a rush to buy him out. And you know what? Maybe his defense improves. Maybe something changes with another team where they have an injury and they really need a Kanter, and all of a sudden we can get something back for him.
Well, Steve, I didn't mean
now,
like
buying him out is nothing.
Well, Steve, I didn't mean this second either. I mean, I'm just thinking that as the season goes along, I think we do need to explore that option.
Oh, sure. That should be priority at the trade deadline.
There's 40 games, 44 games left or so in the season.
About that. Yes.
So there's plenty of time, obviously, to seek something for Cantor, a better situation for him, especially if he wants to like cash in. And, you know, the Bucks might not be the worst option considering they were looking for him in the offseason. And since with, you know, Tom, their other center, not Don Maker, the other one. John Henson. He's injured.
He's injured, so, and they shipped him to Cleveland.
Right. So I think there may be a chance for Cantor to go there or something like that. I don't know. I just think that moving on from Cantor should be the next step moving on here.
That's interesting. I kind of think of Cantor as a scoring big off the bench for some contender. I think it makes a lot of sense, you know, for a team like Boston with, you know, with Morris out, and there are a ton of different options with Cantor, but again, no one's going to be knocking down the Knicks' front door to get him, and you're going to have to acquire salary back, which makes a deal difficult, and that's why I think eventually it becomes a buyout.
Right. And I'm just saying that the Bucks could be interested, or even the Kings, to be honest with you. But the Kings are an interesting prospect to me, but we can talk about that later. I also want to see if the Knicks can move Lee. But again, that's another difficult one. The Grizzlies were, you know, reportedly interested earlier this year, but you know they made the trade for Justin Holiday, so that ship has sailed.
Yeah, Lee's going to be tough to move, Chris, with his $12 million a year salary going after this season, another year after that. It's going to be very difficult. They're going to have to attach something back, and I expect that market to heat up in about a month. Trade deadline is February 7th. And we're very excited to talk about that going forward. But yes, Chris, I think the resolution of getting Ennis or Lee off the books would go a long way for the Knicks.
Yes, sir. So, you know, we were talking about this the other night, just to move on. How crazy Thursday night was. Like, what a great – both NBA games were fantastic. So the Raptors were in San Antonio. This marked Kawhi Leonard's return to his former team after all the drama that unfolded in the offseason. And game number two, where we had the Rockets with a scorching James Harden lighted up against the Warriors. Like, where do we start with here? Kawhi went back. He was very classy, and Popovich had some nice words for him after the game too. And you know what? And DeMar DeRozan got his revenge too with his new team. So, there's a lot of things to look at here. Primarily, do you think Leonard will end up staying here? What do you think the Raptors should do with Leonard?
I mean, the Raptors are going to do everything they can to keep Leonard here, Chris, obviously, but we don't really know what he's thinking. He's a very quiet guy, and we've seen in the past, you know, guys basically request a trade to certain spots, get traded elsewhere, like Paul George a year ago with OKC, and then decide I'm going to re-up here. I think him staying with the Raptors makes a ton of sense. It's clearly his team. The team has played very well. He has not seemed to hate it there. But at the same time, we don't know what he's thinking. So I think it's going to be, as you told me before the show, it's going to be either Raptors or one of these LA teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll go to the Lakers. He doesn't want to be in LeBron's shadow. But I definitely see him staying there. Especially, like, let's say the Raptors make a run to the finals, which is completely plausible considering it's really a race between like four teams in the Eastern Conference. And they also beat the Warriors in the finals, but so who knows what that'll come to.
Yeah, it's way too early. The point is, you know, the postseason is going to tell us a lot more about that situation. If the Raptors get bounced early against, you know, a hot, you know, team in the second round or something, I think that pretty much eliminates Kawhi from going back to Toronto. But as we expect him to get to at least an Eastern Conference final. It's very early for that. But I want to talk about DeMar DeRozan, Chris. He's kind of been an afterthought in this trade. He had his first ever triple-double. He was fired up, crazy dunks, some great, a great shot maker. And Chris, you know, DeRozan is a really nice building block for San Antonio. considering this whole mess all of last season, to get a guy like that under control for multiple years, you know, the situation could be far worse, Chris.
I agree. Considering all the situations he could have gone to, the Spurs situation was probably the best, where he can still be the number one, number two scoring option. And, you know, it's a tough West, you know, and tough Western Conference, obviously, but you can never count out a Spurs team. And we can see time and time again, you know, there are times during the season we're like, oh, wow, look, the Spurs are on a 3-game losing streak. They're out of the playoffs. This is it. This is it. And somehow, one way or another, they always turn their ship around. You know, not surprising for another Popovich team.
You mentioned Popovich teams, Chris. We were talking about this before the show, but how about the point guard play for this team? You know, DeJounte Murray goes down with the torn ACL before the year, and you're thinking to yourself, who is going to play point guard? Where, you know, Tony Parker's in Charlotte. And, you know, they've gotten a lot out of a bunch of different guys. Like Derek White has come in and played really well recently. He's a really nice scoring guard who has really put some stability in this point guard position. And, you know, Chris, it's just another point guard for Pop.
Right. You know, it speaks to the lineage that he's had, right? He's had Avery Johnson. He has Tony Parker. He's had Corey Joseph, George Hill. You know, besides
Patty Mills,
Brian Forbes, like he's found these like rough gems and like turned them into not diamonds necessarily, but you know, like,
they're legit players. Like, they're guys who can make an impact. And, you know, it's very difficult for that position for someone to find one or two guys like that. And he's found 5, 6, 7 over the last decade that really have contributed to the Spurs 20 straight whatever seasons in the postseason.
I mean, let's not look that far. Look at the Knicks. They haven't had a solid point guard situation, I want to say, since, like, what, Steph Marbury?
You want to give Chauncey Billups his due? He was here for about a week, but he was a guy. So it's been a long time, Chris. And, you know, Pop and the San Antonio front office deserves a ton of credit. Speaking of a guy who deserves a ton of credit, this is something we put in the show last second. But, Chris, James Harden is now the front runner for the MVP. Is that what you agree with?
Oh, hell yes. Even though Giannis is killing the game over there in Milwaukee, and I'm not taking this away from him. This could also change in a few weeks. But just the fact that James Harden has done so much in the last few games since Chris Paul has been out. He's scored 30 or more points in the last 11 games. You know, he's basically took an 11-4 team to, you know, basically what I think they're what, fourth in the Western Conference standings. I know the standings, it's too early, but the fact that this, you know, we kind of like thought, oh, maybe this last year was the end of this team. They had that one shot to beat the Warriors, but it's not. It doesn't seem the case. They beat them at home. That's not an easy task. So right now they sit behind the Warriors in the standings. They're at 22-15, and have won the last 6 games, and they're 9-1 their last 10. It speaks volumes as to the caliber of what kind of player James Harden is. And there were times where I thought on Thursday that there's no way Houston can come back. They were down 6 with less than a minute remaining, and they came back. They were down the other night, and, you know, James Harden hit that shot. Isn't that's wild, bro. So
insane. I mean, 5 straight games with 40 plus. You mentioned, you know, the 11-14 start, and Chris Paul goes down. You're thinking to yourselves, this is a very expensive roster that is underperformed. What happens here? Do they need to make a trade? Do they need to sell off pieces, add pieces? And then all of a sudden, James Harden takes over.
And Eric Gordon was out too.
Oh, that's right. Can't forget that.
You know, Clint Capella also had a nice game, 2020. And Austin Rivers has also been a nice addition to the team as well. Like, he was one of those underrated players that, you know, he was able to, like, score on Steph Curry whenever he was guarding him. So, and you can't count out the Rockets just yet. And yeah, I'm loving what this team is all about right now.
Yeah, Chris, I totally agree. I'm in the big belief that the MVP should be like baseball. You know, Eastern Conference MVP, Western Conference MVP. We could celebrate Giannis and Harden. They play in different leagues, Chris. They play in different playoffs. Why are we having one MVP? It should be like baseball. That's my opinion on it.
Well, the only problem I have with that is because the NL and the AL actually have like a different system, right? Like you have DH and you don't have DH, and I think that sort of matters when you're talking about comparing, you know.
I mean, that's fair, but it's
like,
just, you know,
like a,
how are you able to compare Harden and Giannis? Who is better? It's so hard to tell. You know, they're both basically carrying their teams. I don't know how you're supposed to pick one.
What probably makes the award probably that much more impressive. But, you know, at the other side of the token, how many years would have LeBron won the MVP trophy if it was just Eastern Conference or Western Conference?
7 or 8.
Right.
That's true. That's a good point.
So we were talking about a little bit about the games last night. And you were texting me all last night about, oh, how the Pacers and Bulls are back and forth. You want to take us through what impressed you so much about that game?
Yeah, Chris. Pacers-Bulls played one of the best games that no one's going to talk about of the year on Friday night. LaVine was shooting, you know, crazy threes in overtime. You know, Lauri Markkanen, then Turner matching threes. And then Oladipo hits a game winner off glass from about half court. And Chris, you know, watching the talent from the Bulls, whether it's Lauri or LaVine, or, you know, Chris Dunn had a 17-17 game, and, you know, Wendell Carter, they don't seem to be as bad as the four other tanking teams, despite having the same 10-29 record as the Knicks.
Okay, so here's another question. Do you think they're more far along in the rebuilding process than we are?
I don't know, Chris, because I haven't heard them at all in free agents. And if the Knicks acquire one of these top free agents like Kyrie or Kevin Durant, I think that just shoots them into contender status. So it's really hard to tell what the Bulls' plan is here. Obviously, they have a ton of cap space, but I don't really see a go-to guy on this team. I see a couple of really, really nice pieces. You know, basically, if you put LeBron on this team, right, I think they're better than LeBron with the Lakers, you know? But they don't have that go-to guy, you know? And I don't – until they get that go-to guy or until there's a plan to get that go-to guy, I can't really say where they are in this rebuild.
Well, speaking of your boy LeBron and the Lakers, how – I mean, I love my Knicks, but I know when we're playing an inferior team. And last night, the Lakers were an inferior team. And we beat them, obviously. But how – isn't it insane how great LeBron is that makes a team like this so much more impressive? The team is what, 1-4, 1-3 without him since his injury?
Yeah, I mean, watching them against the Knicks last night, they looked awful, Chris. Awful. You know, no one had an answer for Enes Kanter. You know, Brandon Ingram looked like, you know, a one-trick pony just trying to barrel his way to the rim. You know, Lonzo Ball's shot has not improved in a year and a half in the NBA, Chris. And I don't like this team. And when obviously they're missing LeBron and Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma is clearly their second best guy, but the rest of the roster, Chris, leaves a lot to be desired.
Oh yeah, that's true. They had no Kyle Kuzma. You know what? I kind of didn't see what people were saying with Brandon Ingram. Like, I never thought that he was that impressive to begin with coming out of college. And people kept saying that, you know, he's this. But to be fair, like everyone said that he needed to develop into this KD type. But so far, what, three?
He's not KD.
Exactly.
He's not. He's not that kind of shooter. He's not that kind of slasher. He's a nice defender who has his moments offensively. He's not a bust by any stretch. But
he's a.
You know, the idea.
I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't even think he's a piece, really. Like. What is he?
I think he's a piece, but you don't. Is that a piece in a trade? Is that a piece? You know, can he be your third scorer on a championship team? I'm not sure. I really don't know.
I don't even think that he registers as the third or fourth.
I don't know. It's like there's nothing he does that's extremely well. Like when the Thunder were coming up, you know, obviously James Harden was a terrific scorer. So when they needed him to put in that role, he could flourish in that. I'm going to come off the bench and score 8 points in 6 minutes. If you put Brandon Ingram in that role, I don't see him doing anything close to that because he's just not that. He's not like a elite scorer. He's a solid defender who's still learning offensively, and I'm not really sure what they do with him other than maybe ship him to Washington for Brad Beal.
Well, the Lakers should explore that. I think at some point, like, you know, you got to realize what you have here. Kind of like what the Knicks should do with Frankie Ntilikina. I think the Knicks should obviously give him a chance until the rest of the season, and I think – like, look, Dotson with less chances has proved himself a worthy, you know, piece. So,
right. I think it's just expectations. Like, if Damian Dotson was a second overall pick in the draft 2 years ago and is playing next to LeBron, we're saying Damian Dotson is underachieved. But because he's, a second-round guy on a team that's going to win 20 games all year, we like what we've seen from him. You know, it's just all about expectations, and the expectations for Ingram have been sky high.
That is true. I'll give you that. But at some point, like, it's almost more valuable to trade Ingram than to keep him.
No, I agree. I think they should. I'm not sure what they could get. I mean, it's going to take – would Washington say yes to Ball and Ingram for Brad Beal? I'm not sure. Maybe you had to throw in a first-round pick, and then you become – how many assets is too many assets?
Probably that.
Right. So we'll have to wait and see on that. Again, trade deadline is about a month away. We're going to have some very special guests on the show. Chris, any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
There are a few things I wanted to talk about. You know, there was that earlier, I think it was last week or late this earlier this week, where LeBron James's show, The Barbershop, right? They were discussing about, you know, who's the GOAT? And then LeBron James said that because his team came back and beat the 73-9 Warriors, arguably the best regular season team of all time, in the finals, that he deserves to be the GOAT. He said, I am the GOAT because of that. It put off a lot of people. I thought, you know, for someone who's known for his humility, who's known for his roots and all that, it just kind of struck me off the wrong way. But at the same time, like, you know what? You could argue that he's not wrong, right? He does have a lot of – his name pops up in a lot of statistical categories. But last night, on Friday night, while Clyde Frazier was asked about it by Mike Breen. And I thought, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. He's seen the different amount of players. He also didn't dismiss that LeBron James could be the GOAT, but he said he can achieve that status, but he's not there quite yet. And I think he brought up Kareem's scoring record and maybe another title, and that'll seal the deal for Walt Clyde Frazier. And I agree. I think he needs a
Chris. That's very doable, though. That
he can. And I think once he has those things, I think there's no question that he's the GOAT.
That's to me how you make this a legitimate argument. He's not there yet. He's a top five player all time, but right now I can't make that argument until he's closer to that, because he still needs to do four LeBron-like years to get to that scoring record. And again, winning a title in LA is going to be extremely difficult. It might be the most difficult of any championship he's ever had to get.
Well, think about it. He would have won a championship in Miami, Cleveland, and the Lakers. I don't think any NBA player has done that in a way that he has. Like
three different
teams. Robert Horry did that, right? But I'm saying, like, Robert Horry and LeBron James are way too different, or completely two different players, right?
Robert didn't carry three different organizations to it. LeBron would be doing that.
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah, that's my point. As the main piece, or, you know, he'll probably win the MVP trophy. So maybe, like, that'll be the argument. I don't know. So I think it's worth it. I think LeBron, if LeBron James does that, I think he can be the GOAT. and I settle this conversation forever.
It'll be interesting to see. Anything?
Yeah, actually, one more thing. I'm feeling pretty chatty today. I know you're not high on this either. The early All-Star voting returns, but
I hate this.
I know you hate it, but two names that pop up to me: Luka Doncic and Derrick Rose. Who is more surprising to be in this spot for you?
Derrick Rose, for sure.
Okay, why?
Well, for one, there's a Western Conference guard who, again, he's coming off the bench. He's having a very nice year, but he's averaging 17 points a game. Luka's at least new. People think Luka's going to continue to get better and be an All-Star for perennial years. These fluky guys who, like Rose, there's a chance Rose is never an elite player again. So for him to get into this, it's very surprising to me. And again, if Derrick Rose gets into this game, that means someone else who's an elite player is not, because there's just not that many spots. There's only 12 spots. We've seen Damian Lillard, who has averaged 26, 27 points a game on a contending team, miss out on games like this. And that could happen again if Derrick Rose gets in. So I'm very against this stuff. I really believe, first of all, it should be a two-week voting process, the 2 weeks before the All-Star game. It should not be starting in January, Chris. And rant over.
Well, I don't know. I think, to be real, I agree in the sense that, the 12 players that go there should be the 12 the 12 best players of each conference.
It should be 15. If you want to make it 15, then there aren't as many snubs, and you could throw a Derrick Rose, who quit on the Knicks, by the way, quit on the team. You could throw him into an All-Star game, and people aren't going to be as upset because he's not taking away a spot from an MVP candidate, Chris.
Okay. So,
but that's it.
Well, I agree. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. But at the same time, considering what he's – it's ultimately what drives this game is not only the play of the players, but it's how much players are fans are invested in the game. The fans are the game. Without the amount of attention that the game receives, how well they play is almost, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but I'm saying it wouldn't get as much attention. So I think,
I think
getting in someone like Derrick Rose, who knows if he'll get in or not? Who knows? I just think it's a really cool recognition too. For a player like him, who I know you have your thing against Knicks, and that doesn't frankly bother me that much, but
he quit on the team, Chris.
Look at all the knee injuries he's had, and now he's back.
But Chris, he was averaging 17 a game with the Knicks, quit on the team, and now he's averaging 17 again. Who cares?
All right. I think Steve wants to be hater, that's all.
I guess I'm being a hater on this. Look, he's a nice story, but the bottom line is the T-Wolves are under 500. He doesn't play much defense, and this All-Star is too soon. It's way too soon for this kind of stuff. And again, he deserves some recognition for coming back from a serious injury where he was contemplating retirement in Cleveland last year. He was traded to the Jazz, who cut him. He deserves some recognition. But the idea of taking away an All-Star spot from a key guy because, again, three, four guards are going to make it in the West. Is he a top three or four guard? I don't think so right now, even with his improved play.
Fair. Okay. What about Luka? Are you mad about that too?
I'm not mad about it because, he's a rookie on the rise. I don't think Derrick Rose is on the rise. I think Luka's on the rise. I don't think either should make the team right now because, again, he's be taking it away from somebody who's played better, earned more minutes. How about a Tobias Harris, Chris? Tobias Harris is a guy who's going to be overlooked. He's held the Clippers. He's, averaging 22 a game. He's never made an All-Star game, Chris.
And you're right. He probably deserves it. The Clippers have been playing great. You know what's crazy? I think Atlanta's probably hitting themselves on a wall right now considering how well Luke is almost single-handedly leading Dallas into the playoffs.
Yeah, they got to be kicking themselves for that trade. It's still too early to tell because they did get Dallas' first-round pick this year as well as Trae Young. So we have to see what that becomes. But as of right now, Dallas has to be sitting pretty with that pick.
Fantastic pick. Fantastic pick. All right. I think it'll do it for us this show today. Guys, thanks again for listening and hope you tune into our next show.
Thank you.